how the appearance of it, being an African-American woman, I will not be wearing a mask while running as long as I can help it. Now, if it becomes one of those things where it is a you absolutely must, then I will probably wear a buff and it will probably have fun colors and things. I have tons of them from races that, you know, clearly say marathon, health group, this and this and this. Now, will I wear a mask when I go to the store? Yes, because I feel like my appearance will give off that I'm not trying to rob the place. I've also bought a real mask, like one of the ones that look sort of medical-like, so that it doesn't get confused. But as for a bandana of any color, I will not be wearing that across my face at any time or running.
Hi, I'm Coach MK, founder of the Fitness Protection Program. I'm a run coach, not a life coach. We're never really talking about the running. Running is the tool. It's the conduit we use to examine the world we live in, as well as its impact on our own lives and the lives of the people around us. How we react to certain people and to certain stories tells us a lot about how we view ourselves. I'm committed to the thoughtful, intentional exploration of the importance of running so that no one discounts their own badassery, ever. Final note, this podcast is geared towards every runner who won't lose their home, livelihood, or health insurance if they show up to the corral with a hangover. Not that I'm encouraging you to do that, just saying. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the Fitness Protection Podcast.
Hello, and welcome to what is usually Ask Away. And since we didn't have very many questions this week, I thought I would run through everything really quickly, and then we're just going to head right into the Tiger King Netflix party. So if you're joining us for the Tiger King Netflix party, step one, go ahead and sign into your Netflix account right now. Look for the password. I had trouble doing this too because it's auto-programmed in my TV, but not on my computer. And you will get to experience this with Dahlia for the first time. How she's managed to hold out for so long, I have no idea. But also go ahead and grab the two documents that I pasted in quarantine. You've got the recipe for the drink, and I got a mason jar full over here, and Lord knows I'm going to need it. And we've also got the game that we're going to be playing while all of this gloriousness happens in real time. But first, let me run through the weekly wins. We've got some really nice ones because we got to start. Days like today, we just got to start with the good stuff. So here are the weekly wins. Jennifer is prioritizing her mental health, and we are proud of you for that, Jennifer. God knows that all of our mental health is challenged at this time, and there's nothing wrong with prioritizing that and seeking out what you need. I wish more people would do that and more people would be open about that. If I haven't been clear enough, if you missed it, I see a therapist every week, and I upped my Lexapro when all this started. Yay! That's why I'm so awesome. So, I mean, that's not the only reason why, but that's one of them for sure. In Rebuild, Christine Lancaster, happy birthday. And I can tell you, because I work closely with Christine, that she's had some very good runs. She's had a very good streak of them. And I'm excited for you, Christine. Best birthday ever. Congratulations. Brenda is showing up for herself and taking care of herself for the first time in her adult life. And I know how hard you've had to adult, Brenda, and how hard you've had to take care of the people around you. So I'm proud and excited that you're in a period where you can really prioritize yourself. That's terrific. And I love being able to support all people, but especially people carrying burdens as large as yours. Melissa Yakuzo is reestablishing her running habit after 6 months of not running regularly, and we are here for that. If you are not able to establish anything regular, we're here for that too. Just saying, if part of reclaiming your time means reclaiming your space on the road in your running clothes, shoot yeah, let's do that. Maintain, Erin O'Berry-Nason's spring race was canceled, but she ran her own 16-mile race anyways. Yay! Her family joined her for the last few miles, and her friends made signs and cheered for her. And we'll be sharing, hopefully, a couple of those pictures on our Instagram account once I change password again, because evidently I've locked myself out of that. Yay! I love being old. I've turned into my mother. Trisha Mitchell ran a virtual 5K this week. Way to go, Trisha. And Amy Nicole took care of herself by heading home to be with her family. She is now getting back in the running groove. Way to go, Amy is one of our resident extroverts, who loves hugs and thrives on being around and touching people. And I respect that, but I got too many people want to touch me in this house as it is. So it's not my life, but I am proud of you, Amy, for both words, prioritizing yourself, recognizing that need and getting into a house full of people where you can be around people all the time. Cause I understand how extroverts could be going crazy at home. It's not just a meme. That stuff is real. Now, for the fun part of this evening, take a deep breath. We have two questions and ask away. Going to double check. First one, I've got two questions here. So first, since all my upcoming races have been canceled, I've been thinking more about improving my easy effort pace. Depending on the day, my pace at 140 is anywhere from 12:15 to 13:30. I've been in maintain for 2 months and before that did heart rate training on and off for 2.5 years. My easy effort pace hasn't changed much over that time. Does a faster pace at 140 come from any specific type of workout or just more running consistency? The key to this really is strength. The thing about your easy effort pace and your heart rate is that a lot can get in the way. So in a time when you're extremely stressed out and have a lot on your plate and a lot going on, your heart rate will be faster and your whole body is going to be basically in overdrive before you even get started. So I wouldn't say that you're not necessarily getting faster. I just don't know that we've cleared out all the white noise yet. So do as much as you can to clear out all the white noise, meaning get all the sleep, take care of yourself, you know, eat reasonably. Not saying you have to eat perfectly, like there is no limit, but make sure you're eating enough for sure. Definitely enough protein. And the key to everything, if this was a F of X to take you back to algebra that you probably tell your kids, you'll never use that in the real world anyway. Liars. Algebra is everything. It's logic. It's brilliant. It's wonderful. And we all use it on some level every single day. F of X is a function of strength. So faster is a function of strength. Always, always, always. And there will be a lot of wiggling in there, depending on whether or not you've been taking care of yourself, and what else is going on in your life, how stressed out you are. So not to say like you can't pursue that at this time. You can just understand there's going to be a lot working against you. And so try not to be too hard on yourself if your easy effort pace does not make huge strides during this period. That said, if the person asking this question is in a position where you have a bit more free time now than you have before and want to take strength a little more seriously now than you have before, take a look at hashtag outdorphins. See, we've got endorphins and then endorphins and then outdorphins. Yay, in quarantine. And Lindsay Warren of Collie Strength here in Denver has been giving us some strength circuits, short 10, 20 minutes that we can perform on our own. And they hurt a lot. And you get to watch me like cry while she makes me do them. You can watch the volunteers. That's on Wednesday. And then on Saturday morning, you can watch the volunteers sweat through them with me. I will do them again one more time on Monday. Feel free to join us for that. And if you want more, reach out. We're going to be releasing a formal strength program with Lindsay a little bit later this year after we get through the quarantine. If this goes well. And by the way, if that sounds good to you, if you want more strength, if you'd be interested in a strength subscription, let me know and maybe we can roll that out sooner. It's not been the top of the priority list, but I know we've got a couple that have been asking for it. Okay. That is question one. Here's question two. Coach MK, seems like we're all supposed to be wearing face masks every time we leave the house, every time we perform essential activities. I'm grateful that running and jogging, daily exercise, is on the essential activities list. Do I have to wear a mask while I run? Do you wear a mask while you run? Fun question. Lot there. These questions are submitted independently in light of the fact that we're a growing company and when our base is changing and my staff are changing too, I realized that I would be remiss if I answered this question by myself. The short answer is this. If you have no idea why there would be a question about it, then wear a mask while you run. Here to tell you a couple of very valid reasons why not all people will be running in masks right now, is our sponsored athlete, Nikia. Hi, Nikia.
Hi.
Sorry, Dahlia. I'm still learning the software. I apologize. Okay. So, Nikia, are you, tell us what you really think.
As for me, I will not be wearing a mask while running. And the reason for that is I tend to run usually before dawn, and I usually have a very large spotlight on my chest. And because I am not the speediest, my pace is fine for me, but it also might look like more of a shuffle than a run, I actually give off the appearance that I am a robber. I run in neighborhoods that don't necessarily look like I belong, even though I very much live in the community that I run in. I have had in the past, when I go out, especially on those early mornings, usually 5:30 is usually the latest that I start, except for quarantine time. I've had people lock their cars and beep their car horns from their house when I run in the morning because I look like I am trying to peek into cars because I'm running on the sidewalk in a neighborhood. So for me, and given the time of day and how it, the appearance of it, being an African-American woman, I will not be wearing a mask while running as long as I can help it. Now, if it becomes one of those things where it is a you absolutely must, then I will probably wear buff and it will probably have fun colors and things. I have tons of them from races that, you know, clearly say marathon, health group, this and this and this. Now, will I wear a mask when I go to the store? Yes, because I feel like my appearance will give off that I'm not trying to rob the place. I've also bought a real mask, like one of the ones that look sort of medical-like, so that it doesn't get confused. But as for a bandana of any color, I will not be wearing that across my face at any time or running. So there might be people that are not into wearing a bandana or even a face covering because of the image that it gives off, especially depending on where you live, incidences that you've had before. So just keep that in mind if you want to fuss at somebody for not wearing a mask while they're running, because sometimes it might, for them, be a safety issue. And then, you know, other folks, if they have a claustrophobic issue or, you know, something about, like, their airway being covered, they might also opt out of wearing a mask. Now, that being said, when I'm running, people don't tend to be out and about. But as we've seen, there's been an uptick of, you know, your afternoon leisurely dog walkers, miscellaneous people. So I would just recommend that if you're not going to wear a mask, go out at a time that you know it's not going to be super populated in your area so that you are avoiding those droplets and things that might be in the air. But if you're going to go out and it's going to be on a crowded trail, put it around, like, go ahead and wear it or test something out that will allow you to cover your face.
So that's a lot. What kind of mask do you wear when you go to the store? I'm just curious.
I got one from Shop Vita. Now, currently, I'm wearing a buff, a Blue Ridge Marathon buff that has, you know, been in my wheelhouse for a while. And so I went through actually all of that and decided it was time to wash it all. And I was like, oh, great. I'll go ahead and use this to cover my face for this weekend. But I have ordered a mask from Shop Vita. They're currently running a sale. And then it also has the filter in it is the important piece, and they sell those as well. And they're still in stock. So I would check them out if you're looking for one that's not sports grade. But the buffs, from what I've heard, are great to just cover your face, but they are not medical grade. So I wouldn't use them if you are a healthcare professional. They posted that on their page, probably because of lawyers.
Right. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. We have a whole lot of doctors in our running community. So I spoke with one on the phone before all of this to be like, you know, my gut is no, I have not been running in a mask, but also don't run with people or near people. And, you know, I'm following Singapore rules. I'm not spitting on the ground. I'm spitting in my shirt, which is disgusting, and blowing my nose in my shirt, which, I don't know, is not a problem for me, but at least I'm not, like, you know, leaving it on the ground around me, which feels like that's, you know, some days that's kind of the best you can do, especially with all the pollen in the air. But yeah, I think if you really want to wear a mask, if you are there, number one, remember, please, that there are medical professionals that do not have access to N95 masks at the moment. So even if you have one, I would hesitate to wear it out in public. Like,
yeah,
that's the sort of thing. If you're seen wearing one, I'm not about public shaming. I have very strong feelings against it, but that's one where I'm like, ooh, it's going to be really hard to defend wearing that in public if you're not a doctor, in some context. So if you really want to wear a mask, or if you are nervous, oh, I can't, that link is so long, I can't all fit it in one comment. Google altitude masks. And if you Google high altitude training mask, you'll see why. These were developed about 4 or 5 years ago to be worn at sea level. And it makes it really hard to breathe, which is supposed to. Now, the science behind it is kind of like, I'm not going to be like, Nakia, okay, you need to invest $60 in this hypoxic mask. For hypoxic. No, I mean, when people are like, can I do this? I'm like, please God, no. Like, there's so many ways to spend $60 in this economy. Thank you for giving some fitness protection, but like, no, please don't spend it on this mask. The science behind it is a little, but yeah, at the end of the day, it is a mask. So if you, I don't know, it's how much protection, when we're wearing masks, again, to be really clear, it's not about protecting you. It's about protecting people from your droplets. So if you must wear a mask, go with one of these high altitude masks. They have not sold out anywhere. You can still get them on Amazon in 2-day delivery. You can get them from Dick's Sporting Goods curbside pretty much everywhere.
Suffering.
Yeah. Yeah. I probably wouldn't like recommend anyone perform surgery in one, but if anything, you're going to look like Hannibal Lecter and no one's going to like talk to you if you show up in one of these masks. But you know, the recommendations that I've been seeing flying around the internet, like wear a balaclava. I'm like, Nakia, please don't wear about, I'm not here to tell you what to feel or how to deal, but I'm guessing it probably isn't a good idea
not
for you.
On this face.
Yeah. Yeah.
I actually look like a robber.
Well, I think a lot of people do. And there's just different ramifications for different folks. So whenever I'm thinking about my answers, I pivot to my sponsored athletes. When I tell Nakia to do this, no. No. No.
Just in case. And honestly, I mean, and it's one of those things where it's thinking about how you can be viewed. And this is something that, you know, we regularly monitor. I mean, in this body, I regularly monitor, you know, how I'm viewed by the outside world. But that's also my choice. And I understand. And I also make provisions to get out there early or go later at night and make sure I'm well lit. And so that's what for me, but I will be wearing one when I go to the store or when I'm coming in contact with people, that 100% will be wearing something to cover my face. But I don't tend to come in contact with a lot of people because I work from home and I live alone.
So you're bragging is what you're doing.
Like, I'm enjoying this quarantine. I am having a blast.
You are the opposite of Amy. Yeah. You, I like there's Dolly comment. You definitely don't look like a robber. It's because they don't know you.
I'm rather bubbly. And I'm usually, you know, but if you were paying attention and just saw someone in a mask, and with a spotlight on their chest, my chest is rather pronounced.
And a little bit in a backpack. If you weren't a runner and saw it, you know, It could look like any sort of thing you wanted to see if you were scared. I mean, you are kind of a thief, Nakia, because what you've stolen is my heart. FYI.
Thank you.
That is why she's one of our sponsored athletes. Thank you, Nakia, for sharing that with us. Thank you for answering that question. I was like, I could talk about anything, but sometimes I don't need to be the one speaking. And I appreciate you being willing to step in. But I also intend you do not necessarily want to watch Tiger King.
Again, I've watched it once, and what a ride. What a ride.
And I mean, speaking, I love getting this question, considering what we're about to pivot into, because, I mean, I can't imagine if, you know, we say that, like, oh, we can't make it about race, but everything is about race, man. Can you imagine, like, Tiger King happening with Black people?
No, and actually, I'm really grateful that no one, absolutely no one in this entire show is Black. And honestly, like, it's really what we needed. Because Dolly is watching it for the first time, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, girl, you are in for a ride. It literally, like, every time you think, like, okay, like, it's going to pivot.
Oh, sorry, I'm adding a comment.
Every time it looks like it's going to pivot, it doesn't. Like, it just gets, like, every character is worse than the last.
Wait, but these people are from Florida, right?
Oklahoma.
Oklahoma.
What? Okay, yep. I am surprised. I just assumed from the photos, I'm like, I know these people. I'm about to learn some things. I just was adding that it's crazy. There you go. There's my comment. It's just so unfair. Like, everybody is going through the same thing right now, but there's added complications depending on the level of crap and abuse the country you live in likes to heap on you. And I saw a post the other day trying to say that we're post-racial because a lot of people who are in marginalized groups are thriving. But that message that so many people believe, the ridiculous thing is, of course I can thrive. I'm a fighter and I'm resilient. And there are things that the human mind does in response to ongoing abuse, which is why you find, there you go, like you see tight-knit communities among Black Americans, you see a way of relating to each other that you don't see among other groups. And so much of that is in response to the abuse that you feel like you're experiencing as a group. So I'm certainly not saying, oh, it's all bad, woe is me, but it's real. And it is freaking ridiculous that I have to worry that when I'm exercising, I may be approached by the police. I used to take a break in the same spot that all my white coworkers took a break in, like right outside of our parking lot, because the clients would literally try and talk to us, even if we were sitting in the car on the phone. So we would go like to this empty lot right beside it. Well, why did the police come out there? And even the police, because I'm female, I know if they had approached a Black male, it would have been different. But because I'm female, when they approached, they were like, I'm sorry, this lady will not stop calling. I know she can see me right now. I just have to come out here and see what you're doing. And they're like, oh, I see your uniform. You're on a break. And then I stopped taking my break there because I feel like I'm being watched. I just am trying to live my freaking life. And then to have other people try and undermine what I know to be true, saying, you're not experiencing that. Are you sure you don't understand that, Nakia? What would make you think that? Who told you that? Who has ever said anything to you? Can you prove to me that you've experienced racism? You know, like, who needs it at this point?
Especially not right now. We're in a crisis.
Yes, we're in a crisis. We don't have time for this. Yeah, so I'm like, I'm tired of explaining to y'all that racism is real. I'm tired of explaining to the cops, like, I'm exercising, buzz off. This is why when you see people, like, mouthing off in these clips you see online, and they're just, like, losing their freaking mind, and it looks like nothing really happened, and all of the people who haven't felt harassed every time they've left their house since, I don't know, kindergarten, are saying, well, they should have been more respectful, or they should have said this, or they should have said that, and they wouldn't have gotten in trouble. It wouldn't have escalated. They wouldn't have gotten beaten, you know, but now we finally see clips where people are still saying, yes, sir, and being beaten. So there was that argument.
Yep.
But in addition to that, you don't know what the experience of that constant abuse is, and it is abuse. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not even going to say, in the 90s, we used to call it racial insensitivity. It's abuse. And if you abuse somebody for years and years and years, and then suddenly they had enough because you have all the regular pressure plus, because we're all going through COVID-19 plus. I know for me, because I'm not a male, again, I know this is different because my brother, he wouldn't wear the mask. He won't come home to the United States because of police violence. He's like, I'm not trying to die. He's like, maybe when I'm super, super old and my hair is all gray, maybe then it'll be okay. But that's literally why he won't live in the United States.
Which is fair. And I mean, like my dad, brother, boyfriend, all those folks, it's something that I think about every time. Like if my boyfriend doesn't text back in a couple hours, it's like, oh God, is he okay? Like, what happened? You're like, and this is something that we continuously live with. And even, you know, yes, I live in a town where I can say that we have a very diverse police force. I have great friends that are on the police force and I trust them. I know them. And honestly, like, probably most of the force would be like, oh, like she's in Westover Hills. Okay. Oh, that's just Nakia. She's not going to rob you. Like, they know because they've seen me out for years and they wave. But at the same time, I also know a lot of people in that neighborhood have had car break-ins. And so they're super vigilant. Everybody's got a camera. Some of these houses, I run past, the big old light comes on because it's setting off their camera. And you know, like, I'm pretty sure I have been recorded by half the city at this point. Because every time one of those big old lights comes on, it's like,
they figure you're working on a long game. They're like, yeah, she's up to something. I mean, I know she, it looks like she's just been exercising consistently for months, but no. This is a long game.
Scoping it out.
Scoping it out. You know, it's just, I can't even. I just.
You have to laugh or you're crying. I do. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, and then everybody finds coping mechanisms and you learn to work around it. So you form community and now people know who you are. And that's a way that you're finding to protect yourself. And I would say, just like we said before, when people want to shame or police what other people are doing, like if you're worried about why somebody of color isn't wearing a mask, worry about yourself. Like, this is an ongoing theme. People thinking they need to police my behavior. They don't know me. Like, worry about yourself. You don't know why I'm doing what I'm doing. Worry about yourself. And then question why you would feel so. They're not, I don't think it's our audience, but it's certainly people who are out there in the world, whatever, where I've seen them come up to, you'll come up to a Black child and just start telling them what to do. And, or you'll come up, right. Or come up to someone in their early 20s and just start telling them what to do. Why do you feel so comfortable policing my behavior? I'm not comfortable with it. You know, why do you feel so comfortable coming up to me and touching my hair without permission? Why do you feel so comfortable constantly checking my behavior? Worry about yourself. Okay. Leave us alone.
Don't touch me if you don't know me. It's just weird. Like, it's just.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that somebody in this group has felt that, like a big thing I would equate it to is almost like pregnant women. Like, people want to, like, walk up and touch a pregnant woman. And I'm like, you don't know that lady. Like, why do you think it's okay? Yeah.
Because it's a female body, and females in general are not, their body's not their own. If men got pregnant, nobody would be touching their stomach without permission. You know, it just wouldn't be a thing.
It makes no sense. So if you reflect on it in that way and just say, like, wait a minute, is this something that I would want happening to me? And I think if people thought about that, I think they call it looking glass self in sociology. If they thought about themselves in the same way, then it would help them to understand and have that empathy on, like, oh, that's why you shouldn't do that. But at the same time, just do what works for you. And then just keep other people in mind.
Yeah. If y'all can see my, if you put one of these on your face, can y'all see that?
Horrible. What was the name of that character was trying to get?
These are the hypoxic masks. If you must wear a mask, wear that. No one will touch you. Hopefully they won't talk to you. They will let you keep on running.
The altitude mask?
Yeah. Isn't that
that thing is wild.
Good luck. Well, people won't talk to you, but they might have to call for help when you pass out trying to do your groceries with that thing on.
Right.
I like that. Right. Thank you, Facebook user. Facts.
Because I actually had a friend to, like, go back and try and touch the other, like, touch him. And they were like, well, what are you doing? She's like, you touched me first.
Yeah.
If that has happened to you,
I would do that too when I was pregnant.
Like, it's weird because
you know that you're a complete person.
True.
It's not weird to that person because subconsciously it's no more harmful than if you want to pet a cute puppy. How am I being bad? It's cute. I want to touch it. Autonomy, what's that? It's a puppy. I'm not a puppy. I'm a person. I'm a grown ass person. And you don't get to touch without consent. Back it up.
Well, another point I wanted to bring up too is that and then we probably need to move on to the Tiger King viewing party before I get you guys more wound up. I definitely want to
thank
Coach Lovey had a lot to say. She's sorry she couldn't be here tonight. Her uncle passed away from complications from COVID-19 today. But we are definitely going to come back together later this week and discuss this in depth. Hopefully, would you mind joining us, Nakia? And, you know, Yeah. So we'll have a roundtable discussion about all these factors, but what, be careful shaming anyone in public. If they're not wearing a mask, there's a reason. One, they're hard to get right now. Two, if you had worn a mask before you had your life-changing septum surgery, Dahlia, that, I mean, it's hard to breathe in one, right?
I still had to wear them because of the pollen. So I actually have been wearing masks in public for I'm going on 2 years. But the pollen, I'm allergic to everything. According to the test, even though they didn't test me for everything in the world, but everything they tested me for that was relevant to my region, I was positive for everything. When they tried to tell me I didn't need another cat, that's why I was like, I'm getting out of here. I just got to do me. I'm wearing my mask. I'm getting my cat. I'm hoping that this whole crisis isn't going to interfere with my cats being born. But anyway, yeah, people really do give you weird looks, but I find the more medical the mask looks,
the better.
Less likely. Yeah, people probably think you're sickly or whatever. Who knows? But if I was male, I would be a lot more worried. And my brother's solution was just like, don't live in the United States.
Honestly, not a bad solution if you've got the funds. Yeah. They literally had this guy on the news rolling up a bandana, and it was a red bandana, and I'm like, no.
Oh, hell no. Yeah, I get people killed. Even in that small town I work in Middle Georgia, even when we were trying to figure out our deliveries, we were like, we don't know, because almost none of us are from there, and the people that are from there, they don't live that life. So we're like, okay, so the kids said something about a gang. It's over here and it's over there. We're trying not to make the kids have to cross gang lines to get their food. So much drama. And you definitely don't want to wear a mask that unintentionally makes you look like you're affiliated with a group you're not affiliated with. So kids living in those neighborhoods have even more things to contend with. So I'm not complaining. It's just rough all over.
Yeah. It's wild. And it, one of those things, I think that's the thing where a lot of people forget those pieces of sensitivity where they're like, oh, just, you know, cut up a shirt and put it over your, I mean, even some of the guidelines, I'm like, what if you don't have a bandana? Or what if the bandana you own is the color of the territory? Like there's so many pieces of things where I'm like, wow, this I don't know if you want me to use this term here, but the white collar quarantine. It's,
yeah.
And I would love to get into that on the podcast.
Yeah, That's an excellent segue. Yeah, because I could really, But at the same time, you can't create content that's meant for everybody. And we've gotten used to tailoring the information we hear to ourselves. But I think it's nice for a content creator like UMK to be trying to touch on the fact that not everyone can use this advice, acknowledging that not everybody's a cisgendered, thin, white lady who's obviously just that shirt size.
Well, I have to touch that since I can't touch your hair.
There you go. Well, you can with permission. You can with permission. Can you imagine a shirt? Actually, it's probably happened to you because your hair's so thick. I'm sure people come up to you and touch your hair.
Oh, yeah.
All the time.
Yeah.
All the time. Oh, you do that. I'm like, it's called a blow dryer. And I work with Satan. But that's that, and I know that's privilege too. Like I can just act balls out and make people not want to talk to me. But I've had to, the fact that I've had to cultivate that because as a white woman, when you say no, it makes people really angry. So I just make them not want to talk to me. I'm good at that, and it's a lot of fun. It's like an ongoing game that the video game that is my life.
Is what I really love that, and I worship Satan. That's a nice little extra.
Because that's pretty overall, I'm out of here.
Yeah, that's when they start.
And we're done.
Oh man, Lyft drivers too are the worst. Like getting in taxis when I just don't want to be talked to or don't have a conversation. I'm good at shutting all that down. But I did not want to shut anyone down with all of this amazingness because this was such good information. And I know that as long as these questions are submitted anonymously, I think it's my responsibility to make sure that I'm speaking to Cade as well as, and that's half the reason I have sponsored athletes is because I want people to, when they think of us and when they think of a runner and they think about running advice, that they're running it past, would I say this to Nakia? Would I say this to Cade? does this rule include Nakia? Does this rule exclude Nakia or Cade or Amy or any of our sponsored athletes? So it was more to be a thought piece, because I think by sponsoring you, we are unquestionably solidifying your what we believe is your rightful space in this sport. And I can't do that without making sure that every word that comes out of my mouth is words that I would be comfortable directing at you and advice that I would be comfortable giving you. And this was a topic where I'm like, I don't think I'm need to be speaking on this.
It could have been a simple answer of like, oh yeah, definitely get a buff and then call it a day. But then
then we miss the opportunity to tell everybody. Yeah.
There's a whole subset of people that, and I mean, I know some runners in town, you know, they're, you know, standard middle-aged white woman who she was like, no, I'm not wearing a mask because I can't breathe. And I was like, honestly, there's so many
I get it.
And I think that's the hardest part with any program like this, is to try and make sure that you're also speaking to an overall audience rather than just being like, yeah, girl, just test it out and see what works.
Well, I think that's a complexity that's unique to the United States, because as many as aware as we are of the problems that we have here, the fact that it's even a discussion is kind of unique to the U.S. And the fact that people would even attempt to try and be more inclusive, I think is, again, unique to the U.S. Because I see how, man, oh boy, we think it's rough here. It's like the civil rights movement didn't happen all over the country. Yeah. I mean, the world. Sometimes the country.
It didn't happen all over the country. That was not a Freudian slip.
Yeah. Where did you stay? What taught you a lot?
My trip to Berlin to A, run a race, and then B, just be in Berlin taught me so much.
Because
a lot of time, I mean, I've been abroad. It's not like I had never been, but I think now as an adult, because every time I'd gone, you know, England, Ireland, Wales, I was, you know, 12. Like, at that point, you're like, oh, like, I just, you know, we just went on a trip, and it was spring break, and there were teams. and then meanwhile, I'm going to Berlin, and I'm like,
man, that's not good, because they're supposed to be better than so many other people because of their traumatic past. I mean, they actually have laws against things that in the rest of Europe, it's still A-okay. You can hang out with your swastika in other countries, but you can't do that in Germany.
Random thought. I'm going to have to Google this. Weren't Milli Vanilli from Germany?
I want to say yes. I'm low-key obsessed with them because they're actually pretty interesting when you look at their whole story. So I really should know the answer to that. But I do know that
they're a German R&B duo from Munich. Sorry.
They take minority to another level because they talked in some of their interviews about how, like, they're alone. I mean, that's a whole other issue. And I've heard people who are brown from other parts of the world say that whenever you see black people in media, it's only black Americans, and that we culturally dominate media, and that people will try and kind of pattern themselves after what we are doing, but it doesn't make sense because that's not who they are, and they feel lost and disconnected from brown folks. Like, it's really interesting. I'm really glad I live here.
What's interesting is how lost and disconnected from reality you're going to be as soon as we start this viewing.
Oh, yeah, girl. It's wrong. My boyfriend and I cackled about it for 30. We didn't even watch it together. We watched it separate. And we cackled for 30 solid minutes about little bits and pieces of it that were just like, I can't believe this happened. I can, but at the same time, it's like, wow, where are the police? I really want to know.
Okay. Is that going to be the theme? Hashtag, where are the police?
Where are the police,
Where's your mama? Where?
Oh, his mama shows up. That's episode 4.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Like, Chris was like, y'all taped this willingly.
Oh my God. I just seen so many memes and so many TikToks of people dressed up like Joe, or is that even the right name? I haven't seen it yet. Exotic somebody. So yes, I'm ready. Oh, that was Jody who said it's assault. Exactly. Jody's like very serious about allyship. People should be like Jody.
I love that. Well, unfortunately, if you haven't like signed up with Nikki with StreamYard, like because we're streaming in the group because I hit the wrong button, we're not live on the Facebook page. I'll post the video there later, though. Yeah, it doesn't show the identity here of the person. Oh, okay. That's a quirk. We're working through it. I just was too cheap to buy the upgraded software package. I'm like, we're paying 20 a month. I get what I want. Okay, we're going to 50 now as a result of this. Oh my gosh. But I keep an eye on those comments. So if there's any, like for any reason we had a troll in there, that's why I keep looking over it. Like, yeah. Every time there's a comment, I'm on it so that like I can monitor. I'm not going to put y'all out there and not have your backs on. All that too. But thank you so much for telling us. Before you leave, Nakia, if you wouldn't mind sharing with the viewership the link that you sent me to that amazing article by the black attorney who was like, what did I just watch?
Black Note Chaser.
Oh, I'm obsessed with that. Okay. I'm into
black
it.
Black Note Chaser is the best explanation of this show that I've ever seen. And I'm like, nailed it. Nailed it. Usually I get really defensive whenever people from like the North or the East Coast talk about these types of topics, because it tends, like when you're talking about poor, trashy white people, there's a judgment to it that can be really, really ugly. But the hard thing is, I know people like that. I know all kinds of people like that. And I don't hate those people. I'm friends with them on Facebook and we talk.
That's why I thought this was, I assumed they were in Florida. You know, people in Florida love their exotic animals. You know,
yeah. It did seem very Florida-like. And then you're like, Oklahoma?
Yeah, I didn't know that was going on in Oklahoma.
Oh, yeah. But we have to be also really clear, this does not represent Oklahoma. Most people in Oklahoma are not doing this. No. Everything about this story is so completely
one of a kind.
I don't even have words.
You get to a point where you're like I thought for a second that I had like drugged myself. Like, that's how wild. I was like,
let's get cracking. Y'all, everybody's getting so curious. Now, I'm going to be very disappointed if this is overhyped because I'm very excited.
It does take a bit. It does take a little while to get into it, because for me, like, I got to about, like the end of the second episode, and I was like, okay. But once it starts to really escalate quickly, it gets out of hand. And MK, I'm going to find that link.
If you find it, put it in the comments. Like, I feel like everyone needs to read that, you know, Black with No Chaser is amazing to begin with, but that is that particular very well done without being judgmental at all. So, and like, not to say that, you know, black people can't be judgmental white people, but rather like, I will take it from if it was so well done without being like, what do you expect from people in the Freer show? Everyone from the red states, like, come on.
No, I know folks from Oklahoma that like are completely opposite of this. So it's like,
The only people I know from Oklahoma led me to believe this couldn't be in Oklahoma. So, Honey Boo Boo was like down the street. So for me, she lives in the town next to mine.
And oh my God. If you said, okay, down the street, I was like, if she lives in your subdivision where everybody has to have a golf cart to get around.
I would know that by now. I would absolutely. God.
Which is funny. I learned how to drive on a golf cart.
Oh, look at you.
We had a golf cart. I momentarily felt bad for white people is the title of this article.
It was a moment. It didn't last, but it happened. It happened. That is hysterical. I love it.
Black with No Chaser. That's amazing. So we need the Black with No Chaser link needs to be on the YouTube channel too.
All right, fam. Well, I will leave you all to the watch party.
Yay!
Thank you.
We're going to be like streaming her face. Blow by blow. I'll be taking screenshots.
Oh, so good.
Yay! I'll end the live stream. I've got like one last question that just came in during this. Hi, MK. I'm slowly getting back at it. Right now, I can't handle any failure, so I'm aiming at just getting out the door more days than not. I'd like to say I'm in lane one of rebuild, but the reality is I'm not yet there. Aside from refocusing, I'm just rebuilding my habit. What is your recommendation for the most important thing for me to do in regards to running? As always, gratefully coached and loved, Melissa. Yay, Melissa. So what I truly recommend here is giving yourself space. I hate it when people talk about like giving yourself grace, because that's not how it works. Grace is just there for you to take. It's not something that we can give. That's not, anyway, that's that niggle aside. Be proud every day when you reclaim a little bit for yourself. That's the whole idea here. You can go as many days as you want to, from 30 to 60 minutes with your heart rate under 140. And so for you, just building the habit, I think the of all the habits that lead to a running habit, the biggest one for you is going to be saying yes to yourself and having those starting cues in your life so that the opportunity presents itself, you're ready to go out the door and you're ready to say yes to it. So there are a lot of things that stars that sort of have to align for a run to happen each day, for, you know, even more so if you're a single parent, and which I am most of the time when my husband travels. He's home all the time now, so my runs just kind of happen like, woo, woo, YOLO. So, but I've had to get myself back into that habit too, of being like, oh, but this run has still got to get done, because I'm like, oh, I can run whenever I want. My husband's here. But then it's 5 o'clock, you know, everybody wants dinner and snuggles and I haven't got for my run yet. It's a thing. So I tell you all that to tell you this, start where you are and try to, as we reform that habit, more than ever, don't worry about what you missed. Celebrate what you do. Jump into those accountability threads as much as you can, because just saying, hey, yeah, I did it, and having the rest of the community wrap itself around you and say, yeah, you did, can be enough of motivation to keep coming back. Because at the end of the day, most of the things that we do as parents, it's work that no one else sees. It's invisible emotional labor. And more often than not, our kids don't appreciate it in that moment, and our spouses might not either. When it comes to this, you're going to need people celebrating everything that you do for yourself, because you're not going to get it anywhere else. And that's really what Fitness Protection and Coached and Loved is all about. It's about the validation that keeps you coming back, that keeps you advocating for yourself and make and reclaiming your time and your space and your place, not just in the running world, but in the broader world in general. I know you know exactly what I mean by that. So start where you are. It doesn't, you know, if you want to name it, sure, it's lane one of rebuild. But really what matters is that where you are is doing something for yourself for the first time in a long time and building it in order to last. And that's going to come with time as we look back and look at everything that you did. So keep counting the wins so that we can celebrate them with you. And don't worry about what you miss. Know that you were coached and loved 24/7 and you're winning at life since the day you were born. And I'm so, so, so glad that you're still here with us. Yay.